they struggle in, that the Lord wants us to celebrate tonight and praise Him. And when you start praising and thanking and rejoicing and celebrating what God is going to do as if it's already done, then it makes it happen. And there's a lot of people healed through praise. And so the Lord said to emphasize praise tonight instead of just worship. So have some more rallying praise and stir our hearts up and rejoicing. Do you have some sound there, Mr. Dennis? Tim, I think Dennis needs a microphone turned on. Which one is that one?
Test. It's on.
It's on.
It only takes one or two or three of us to bring the whole atmosphere into the presence of God. So, glory. I sense victory tonight.
Test.
Do you have the guitar? It doesn't sound very loud. And try again. All right, that's probably good. Thank you. us a little bit tonight. Just turn your hearts to the Lord. Forget about everybody else around us. Just turn your heart to Jesus and rejoice, rejoice. Hallelujah. Why don't you just shout to the Lord one more time? One time with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. What you've done for us, Lord, you're so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Oh, love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's do it. The part that says, what's the second part of it? Evangelist, a prophet here named Glenn Miller, and one of the young guys in the church just had so much baggage in his life. And the Lord spoke to him and said, the Lord says to shake it off. Well, the guy, he started out just kind of shaking like this. He said, no, get in the spirit and shake it. And so he just went, when he did, the whole church erupted and everybody started shaking it all off, and there's just a flood of the Holy Spirit, and liberty just flooded the place. Sometimes we gotta just shake it off, amen? God's been so good to us. And I know that one of the biggest hindrances is self-consciousness, where you just feel so significant or, you know, obscure. I wish maybe we could turn the lights down a little bit, then it would get so dark and depressing. So just close your eyes maybe and forget about everybody else around you. We don't have to dim them, Mr. Tim. It's all right. I like light. Anyways, let's sing the Blood-Bought Church. The words on this song need to get stuck in your head. It starts on the other page. Yeah, that's the one. Now look at these words before we start singing it. We are in that army of the Lord. We are washed in the blood. Can you see yourself washed in the blood? We are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage. Switch the words, Tim. Every stronghold of bondage. Where did the words go? Shall fall beneath our feet. Glory to God. Every prisoner held captive must be freed. Our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Dennis, get excited with me, man.
Hallelujah.
Going forth, there is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise,
be. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of the Son.
Is the blood of the church the redeemed? Yes, so we are in this army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood. We are going forward. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, it's a two-edged sword.
Every stronghold of darkness shall fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be. Deliverance has come through the power of the Son.
The bark of the blood. Hallelujah, sing it again. Oh, we
are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed by the blood. We are going forth. There's nothing that can stop. Mighty moving force. Shout of praise, two-edged sword. Every stronghold of darkness shall fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner and captive must be free. Deliverance has come through the power of the Son.
Bought by the church, now redeemed.
Stronghold of darkness shall fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner and captive must be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of the Son.
It's the blood of the church
that redeemed.
By his word, I walk in victory.
prosperity by his word. Sickness can't dwell in me
by your word.
I walk in victory by your word. I've been set free.
It's a matter of just trusting and believing, having faith, rejoicing when you don't see it, rejoicing, glory, I've got it, when you don't even feel any different, when you feel like crying, you start rejoicing. And we were singing this, the Holy Spirit reminded me of one time when Brother Hagen was doing healing school, and Keith Moore was in the crowd there, and he was one of the real young ministers there in training, and he was sitting on the pew, on the end of the pew there, and Brother Hagen was ministering along, just line upon line, and Keith Moore had just had lunch, and it was afternoon, and he was just getting sleepy, and just kind of, just feeling Brother Hagen teaching, and Brother Hagen walked right by him and shook him up his shoulder, and was like, come alive, guys, come alive. He said, it's when you're excited about it that it happens. And so we get excited about his word. We get excited. Healing has been accomplished on the cross. Glory! Woo! And you get so excited about it. That's when it happens. When you feel like you're just like, well, yeah, I've heard that lots of times, but I don't see it happening. It doesn't work. You have to start rejoicing, and you put it on. You just put on that garment of praise and start rejoicing. Anyways, Brother Dan, come on, preach to us. Yeah, would you like to receive the offering? All right, Lord, thank you for blessing this offering tonight. Be blessed in Jesus' name, and the givers be blessed and increased in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Oh, I was going to say, Dan, before you start preaching, that this message that the Lord has put on Dan's heart is one of the greatest faith builders towards healing. It's the message of righteousness and righteous by Jesus. And lots of ministers, Kenneth Hagin said this, A.A. Allen and other healing ministers have said that one of the number one causes that hinders people from receiving healing is not understanding their righteousness, not knowing they're right with God, that righteousness on the inside. And so preach it, Dan. We want to hear it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Veronica was talking about righteousness. I remember the day. I remember it so clearly when revelation hit me that I'm the righteousness of God. I mean, I remember it so clearly. I was riding with a friend of mine, Bob Culp, and we were coming home from Orlando where we had been working. And I had come, we'd gotten off the interstate here, and turned down 33, then we turned on North Florida where the Waffle House and Harley Davidson is now, and we went down that road, and we hit that curve going towards Carpenter Way, and right at that curve, we had been talking and talking scriptures and everything, and suddenly I realized, I go, I'm the righteousness of God. I mean, it hit me. It was so clear. I just got so excited about it, you know, and I had been studying E.W. Kenyon's book, Two Kinds of Righteousness, and just so you know, two kinds of righteousness is not self-righteousness and God's righteousness. Two kinds of righteousness is the righteousness of a son and the righteousness of a slave. And so that's what he's talking about in that book. And there you are. So it's righteousness of a son or the righteousness of a slave. God's plan and purpose for us is to walk in the righteousness that he's given us.
Yeah.
You have to do it by faith, because everything in this earth will try to keep you from walking as if you are really a son and try to make you walk like you're a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our goal, you know, and the only way to get revelation of it is to see it in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, you know. Revelation comes by hearing God's Word until the light comes on.
Yeah.
You know, when the light comes on, oh, there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. Nothing. The devil can't convince you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that you have put it inside of us and you've given us revelation of your Word and you bring your scriptures to light. Let us get revelation from your Word tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is something that I've been studying and reading recently, and thought I would share it with y'all tonight. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Y'all have heard this verse before. Romans 1, 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes," New King James, "for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You realize that you can't get faith talking about how to get faith. Not normally. That's not the way you get faith, right? You get faith when you realize what God has promised you. And the only way, like F.F. Bosworth said, faith begins where the will of God is known, right? And so when you discover the will of God, that's when you have faith. You don't really get faith talking about faith. How do you get faith? What are the hindrances of faith? What are the purposes of faith? Why do you need faith? All of those things encourage your faith, but they don't necessarily produce faith. You need both. You need to produce faith, and you need to act on your faith. Now, teaching how to act on your faith is a big part of what we do around here as a church. But in order to act on your faith, there's no faith there. That I'll say it this way. One of the main problems people feel so frustrated about is they're trying to act on faith they don't have. No one's ever produced the faith. They know how faith works. They know they're supposed to be in faith. They know they're supposed to act in faith. But they've never actually had faith produced in their life for them to act on. You don't have to try to get faith. You have to try to get to know what God's will is.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is to get revelation, the rhema.
Yeah.
When you get the revelation, then you have the empowerment to act. All of us are trying to act on some sort of power that we don't have. That's why people go around wishing they were well, but they're still sick. Because once you're in faith, you're convinced you're well. Right?
True. Yeah.
So this verse, I want to bring out some key points out of this verse, and we're going to go through this. These two verses, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Go to verse 16. I am not ashamed of what?
The gospel
of Christ. That's the first thing. One thing we're going to look at, for it, what is it? The gospel of Christ is the power of God. That's the next thing we're going to look at, is the power of God to what? Salvation. To everyone who what? Believes. Okay, so I've just gone over four things right there. The gospel of Christ, the power of God, salvation, and to everyone that believes. Verse 17, For in it, what is it? The gospel of Christ. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, there's point number five, the righteousness of God is what? Revealed, number six. From what? Faith to faith, for it's written, what? The just shall live by faith. So I've just brought out nine different things there that we're going to go over in just brief. You could spend all day on all of them, you know, but just a little bit. I want you to see how important these two verses are. Okay. As I move through my notes. First thing we want to look at is, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what?
Salvation.
What is it that everyone needs in their life?
Salvation.
Now, the first thing a person needs is to be born again. That's what we, in America, the typical word for salvation means, have you been saved? Are you born again? You walk up to someone on the street and you go, are you saved? Their response is going to be, yes, I'm born again, or no, I'm not born again, right? That's what they're going to be answering you, whatever words they use. So we think of salvation as just your ticket to heaven. Have you received your ticket to heaven? If you were to die today, would you be in heaven? That's what salvation is. But around here, we know that the words salvation and saved come from two different words, or the words that come from the same meaning, sozo and soteria. And what does sozo mean in our acronym?
Preservation,
healing, deliverance, safety, and soundness. Now, those are the words we use. You can look in Strong's Concordance. You can look in Thayer's Dictionary. You can look in other ministries. You're going to get the same general idea. Salvation includes, as a whole, it's a big word that includes multiple facets of things, which includes you're supposed to be healthy. You're protected. God's looking out for your benefit. He's going to keep you safe. And he's going to work things into your life to prosper you. That's what salvation includes. When you get saved, you don't just get your ticket. You get all the experiences of God all at once. I mean, they belong to you at that moment. Salvation includes everything that you need to prosper and do well. Isn't that true? So, what is it that you need in your... what is it that you need? Is it healing? Is it deliverance? Is it prosperity? It's in salvation. Right? Salvation, you receive those things when you got saved. When did you receive the life of God?
When you got saved.
You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. Now, the people that don't get saved, do they not have everlasting life? They don't have everlasting life, but they got everlasting something. Everlasting separation from God. So we're talking eternal separation if you're not born again. Eternal presence with God if you are born again. But see, this isn't talking about John 3:16. Yeah, please. John 3:16, should not perish but have everlasting life. This is talking about God's quality of life right now when you become born again. That's when you start reigning in life. Jesus died on the cross so that you can reign not just in your existence on earth, but reign in the life of God. In other words, the life of God is supposed to be exuding from you every time you turn around. You're supposed to be reigning in the presence of God, reigning in the life of God. The life of God is supposed to be flowing through you, in you, around you, to you, from you. In everything that you do, you're supposed to be having the life of God in you. And that's supposed to be the way we walk today. You know, not everything is instant. We grow in things. You go from step to step, from what? Faith to faith. So everything is a process. You grow in this area, you know. You'll never be giving thousands until you start giving the ones.
Amen.
Start giving ones, you start reaping in ones. You start giving fives, you start reaping in fives. You start giving 20s, you start reaping in 20s. You start reaping in hundreds, you start reaping in hundreds. The Lord told me you'll never have less income than what you have right now. Why? Because we keep giving.
Yeah.
And every time you give, you get more. And so you bump up from the hundreds to the 500s. And then from the 500s to the thousands. You know, and now you're giving in the thousands. How can you go down? You can't go down because you're giving in the thousands.
Amen. Uh-huh.
You stop giving, you're going to go down.
Yeah, right.
Right? But if you're giving, if you're being generous on every turn, you'll never go down. Now, it doesn't matter where your income comes in from, it's going to come in.
Yeah.
Because you're giving. It's the law of sowing and reaping. If you keep giving, it's going to keep coming back to you. You don't need to do anything for that to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And that's all part of salvation. Now look at this. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of God to salvation. So what every one of us needs is salvation. We need the life of God reigning in our life. You need health, it's in what? Salvation. There's a power of God to salvation. In other words, salvation comes with the equipping power to bring it to pass in your life. There is a power of salvation. You see that? Power of God to salvation. In other words, God is able to empower you to salvation. You need health? God will empower you to health. You need prosperity? God will empower you to prosperity. There's a power that comes that will bring these things to pass in your life. And it comes with being born again.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to produce fruit, do you? Fruit grows naturally. Where does the fruit come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it comes from the power of God that's leading you into salvation, that's empowering you to salvation. In other words, you hang around with God enough, you're going to be healed.
That's true.
Because there's a power that will come with salvation that will make you look everything. It'll make you look preserved. It'll make you look healed. It'll make you look delivered. It'll make you look saved. It'll make you look sound. It'll make you look well in every area of your life. There's a power that comes with salvation to make you look like everything that God has called you to be. We have to yield to that. And I'm going to show you how to yield to that and how to get that. So there's a power of God to salvation. So we all need salvation. You find somebody that's sick, what do they need? Healing. What is healing included in? Salvation. Well, how do they get salvation? How do they get healing? There's a power of God that's going to cause that to happen in their life. What is the power of God that causes that to happen in their life? Well, this verse says, it's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. So the gospel is the source that will cause you to have power that will bring salvation into a reality in your life. You need healing in your life? The power to get healing in your life comes from the gospel. It comes from the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel, by definition, means good message or good news. You know, if I came in here with the newspaper, I would be reading you stories of what has happened. I would be declaring to you the news of the day. Now, are you supposed to go out and do something about it? And that's up to you if you wanted to do something about it. But good news or the newspaper is basically a declaration of things that have happened. And there's nothing for you to do.
It'd be nice if the newspaper was good news.
Yeah. Some of them have good stories. A lot of them don't. Okay? So the good news, the gospel, is not a list of things to do.
Uh-huh.
It's a list of things that have been done.
Yeah.
So the gospel takes the effort and work out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true? All right. So the gospel is what's going to empower you to be healthy. It's what's going to empower you to be prosperous. It's everything that you need. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It comes to you by grace, and there's no effort on your part in order to get it. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. Now, in Romans, it says that the way to get saved, Romans chapter 10, is to confess with your mouth what? That the Lord, that Jesus is Lord. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then you believe in your heart that he raised from the dead. Those two things. I find that interesting that those are the two criteria. You got to declare him as the Lord of your life, and you have to believe that he was raised from the dead. He couldn't have been raised from the dead if all the punishment of your sin didn't happen. So when you believe that he was raised from the dead, you are believing that he kept his word, he took your place, paid all the price of your sin, presented it to the Father, and the Father found his blood acceptable and said, all of mankind is forgiven because of this act. So when you declare Jesus rose from the dead, you are declaring that Jesus died on the cross for you, rose from the dead, and every single one of your sins has been forgiven and you have been made righteous.
Yeah.
Because if that didn't happen, he would not have raised from the dead. So when you declare he raised from the dead, you believe that everything that he did on the cross and in the ground is true and that it is now yours.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So you are saying Jesus is Lord, he is Lord of all, he is my Lord, and everything that he did, everything that he came to earth to do, he accomplished, and I received the benefit of that. And I received it by grace, with no effort on my part. Nothing that I did earned that grace. It was all a free gift to me. That's your declaration when you say, he is Lord and he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so you're declaring those things. That is the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel does not require effort on your part. You don't have to receive salvation by grace and earn it afterwards. You keep your salvation by grace just like you got it by grace. You don't have to believe that God loved you enough to get saved and monitors everything you do to determine whether you're righteous or not. He loved you and brought you into salvation, and he loves you and he will keep you in salvation.
Amen.
He wants you to stay holy and righteous, and he will guide you into that. He's not measuring everything you do to determine whether you're worthy of his love. He gave you his love when you didn't deserve any of it.
That's right.
And he gave it to you then, and he's not withholding it from you now. He's not measuring what you did after you got saved any more than he measured what you did before you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
He measured what Christ did.
Praise
That's
God.
The gospel. That's the righteousness of God. That's what he gave to you. Now, so we looked at verse 16 here. Now, this is for anyone who what? Believes. For the gospel, the good news of the free gift of righteousness to all of mankind, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what? Salvation for everyone who believes. Now, let's look at that. For everyone who what?
Believes.
Salvation isn't going to work in your life if you don't believe.
Right.
Some people choose not to believe. That's why they're not getting healed. That's why they're not seeing God working on their behalf. All you have to do is what?
Believe.
Believe that you did everything right, that you've confessed all of your sins, that you've done all the necessary deeds, that you've kept his word, that you haven't broken a single Ten Commandment.
No.
All you have to do is believe that Jesus died for you, that he's your Lord, and that he rose from the dead.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
So when you believe those two things, what's going to happen in your life? The power of God is going to work in your life and bring about salvation into every area of your life. You need healing in your body? Is it part of salvation?
Yes.
There's a power that will affect healing in your body simply by believing that Jesus rose from the dead and that he's the Lord of your life. You don't have to do anything about it. All you do is believe that Jesus paid all of your price. You know, 1 Peter 2:24 says you are dead to sins. You're the righteousness of God. It says that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By his whose stripes you were healed. He became your punishment so that you could be healed. He became sin so that you could be righteous. Mm-hmm. And when you see yourself as righteous, that all of your sins have been forgiven, that he's not holding anything against you. See, I don't believe God sees your sins. No, I don't think he's looking at your sins. Not one bit. He's looking at how much you act righteous. Because he is drawing you up to his level. He's saying, come up here. He's saying, act righteous. Mm-hmm. Act like my son. Act like my daughter. Act like the princess that you are. We tell Rachel, we say, now is that the way a princess would act? Mm-hmm. You know, Veronica's really working on Rachel to not eat with her mouth open. I'm not exactly helping. No, she said, so she says, now how does a princess sit at the table? You know, and how does a princess eat? Does a princess chew like this? No, princess chews with her mouth closed. You know, so we're working on all of these things, trying to give a picture that she can relate to. And God says, now, son, daughter, do the children of kings wrestle in the mud with sinners? No. They act righteous. Let's start acting righteous. Isn't that true?
Right. Amen.
That's what God says to you.
Yes.
He says, you're my child.
You,
now, is it appropriate for my child to be where you are? No. Then let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't waller in the mud. He doesn't sit there and remind you of how many things that you did wrong. He says, my son paid for that. Now let's move forward. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm expecting more from you. Come on.
Amen.
He's not focused on your sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's focused on you becoming the son and the daughter that he has called you to be.
Amen.
And he's going to develop you into that. And he's going to teach you how to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who what?
Believes.
If you believe, there's a power that will bring healing into your body. If you believe, it will work into your lifestyle. Because salvation has a power of its own self. It's a spiritual force that will work in your life until you become everything that God has called you to be. That's the power of God unto salvation. Going on to verse 17. For in it, what is it?
The gospel.
Now, what did we say the gospel was? The gospel of Christ. It's the message that Jesus Christ became your sin and you became his righteousness by the work that he did on the cross. That's the gospel. For in it, the righteousness of God is. Now, we talked about the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin, you became righteous. Did Jesus ever commit any sin?
No.
Nope, he was sinless. He never committed sin, yet he went to the cross for you on your behalf, for me on my behalf. He became sin, I became righteous.
Mm-hmm.
That's the righteousness of God. And it says the righteousness of God, what's the next word?
Is
revealed. Now, that word revealed, that's talking about revelation, stuff that has to be revealed to you. Now, I haven't gone back and looked to see exactly what the Greek word is there, but still, it's talking about the righteousness of God is revealed in what? In it. What is it? The gospel. So in order for the gospel to affect the power to salvation, you need to understand that the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. When the righteousness of God is revealed to you, that's the preaching of the gospel. When you get the righteousness of God by revelation, that's when the power of God starts to work in your life towards all of salvation.
Yeah.
Can you see the circle here? You receive revelation that you are the righteousness of God. And then that revelation begins to empower you and to work inside of you. And you start to become all of salvation. You become healed. You become prosperous. You become preserved, safe, delivered. It all starts with you understanding that you are the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Colossians 2:13, he came and died for every single one of your sins. All of your sins. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for you. Colossians 1:13 and 14, and also Ephesians 1:7, by his blood our sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Your sins are forgiven. Ephesians, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. By the blood of Jesus Christ, every single one of your sins is forgiven.
Amen.
Now what if you receive salvation, you become born again, you're the righteousness of God, and you go out and make some stupid mistake and sin?
You just confess it.
Not even that. Now, acknowledging it and saying, Lord, that was stupid. I never should have done that. There's a confusion in the church right now between confession and repentance. Every single one of us should repent. Repent means to turn and go the other direction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about confess our sins and being so purged from all our righteousness, but he also forgives us for, if we confess our sins.
Yeah, you're talking about 1 John 1:9. Jesus cleansed you from all unrighteousness the day you were born again. He was talking to a group of people that had not yet been born again. And he's saying, if you have never been born again and you want to receive Jesus and you confess that you need Jesus, that you confess your sins, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And that'll happen the moment you become born again. And if you, at any point in your life, you realize that you're going in the wrong direction and you repent and turn back to Christ, he will again. He's not going, there's no reason for him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness because he had already done that. But he will again refresh that relationship with you that had been so hindered by your mistakes. He is drawing you to him. He's never pushing you away from him. Now, I understand there's some, the church has been teaching, you know, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And they treat this as Christians say, and some people take it to extremes, and they say, if I don't confess that that was a sin, then I'll never be righteous again. Well, that's not true. The blood of Jesus is what makes you righteous, not your act of confession, because then it would be on your part. Okay? There's nothing based on your part. Now, is there an important part of saying, Lord, I blew it, and saying it with your mouth? Yes, of course, but that's part of repentance. Just repenting of something that you did wrong. Your righteousness is not based on your ability to confess and how much you did and didn't do, because your righteousness isn't based on what he did and simply you believing it.
Yeah.
Now, is confession a big part? Yeah. Plays a major part. And you say, Lord, I'm so sorry. What if confession was the way to salvation? What would happen if you didn't confess something? Would you be lost? No. Confession is part of walking the Christian walk, but it is not the basis for your salvation. Jesus Christ and you believing what he did on the cross is what salvation comes from. And so as far as confessing, we confess that, man, as soon as you realize it and you say, that was stupid, and you tell Lord, I am so sorry. Is that confession? I think that's what we call confession. But the main part is repenting and saying, instead of going forward and keep going in that direction, I'm going to turn around and walk back to you. That's what we need, repentance. And that's what's so very important. And so what is the power that causes people to be able to make that turn and walk back towards Christ and quit walking towards the sin that they've been so involved in? And the Spirit of God, but in a little bit more explained, it's knowing that God loves you and that he has forgiven you of all of your sins. When the lady who was caught in adultery, when all the other people could not make an accusation against her, the Lord said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. See, When you understand that you're righteous, then you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to live righteous. If you don't understand that you're righteous, then you're trying to obtain salvation by your own effort because you've got to please God. And if you're trying to please God, it's flesh.
And we can't please God because He already died on the cross and shed His precious blood.
Exactly. So righteousness is always an act of what He did, and we simply believe it and receive it. Mm-hmm. And so when we receive His righteousness of God by faith, you know, for by grace you were saved through faith. So yes, grace gave you salvation as a free gift, and it became yours when you by faith believed it and said, "That's mine." You can't get grace any other way but by faith. Romans 5, 1 or 2, or I think it's 1, where it says, you have peace with, you have access into this grace of God by faith. Romans 2. Though also we have access by faith into this grace. You have access into the grace of God by faith. So by grace you were saved, and by faith you receive that grace. Okay? So you receive the grace of God by faith. So when you begin to believe that you're the righteousness of God, that's when you begin to walk in all of the salvation that has been promised to you. That's when the power comes. And the only way to start walking in it is to get a revelation. I've never seen any major breakthroughs in my life happen until I saw revelation. Okay? Once I got revelation, things began to change. I was like, whoa, yeah. That's right. You know? I started going, oh, wow, that's amazing. Hang on one second. Let me see if I can wrap this up so that we can finish here. You know, in 2 Peter 1, 9. I like this verse. It says, "For he who lacks these things," it was talking about virtue and all of these things in the passage before. It says the person that lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. People start walking in their old way of doing things when they forget that they're the righteousness of God. If you remind yourself on a regular basis, I am the righteousness of God, I am that way because Jesus made me that way, and I believe and act on it, then you are going to not walk in your old sins. I'm trying to remember the verse. I'm drawing a blank. I don't have it written down. That talks about grace and how the law is what keeps you in sin, and grace is the power out of sin. How about this? He that receives love does what? Loves much, right? When you receive love, okay, when you've been given much, you love much. Forgiven much, sorry. Thank you. When you've been forgiven much, you what? Love much. You don't turn around and bite the hand that loves you. You would hope not. When you've been forgiven much, you love much. It doesn't say you go back into sin. It says you love much. And so the key to walking in the power of salvation is getting a revelation that you are the righteousness of God. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 again. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." If you're going to walk in the power that's going to bring salvation into your life and make it a reality in your life, you're going to have to do it by faith. Your body is not always going to agree with the Word of God, and you're going to have to tell it to. Your confidence is not always going to be as strong as it needs to be, and you need to refresh it with God's promises. Fear will try to creep in, and you need to remind yourself that you are loved by God. The devil's going to try to remind you of your past, and you need to say, no, Jesus paid for my past. Let me tell you who I am in Christ. You're going to have to do all of these things by faith, not feelings and not by sight. If you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself or you look at your circumstances that are happening in the natural, you are walking by sight. Even if you see it in the natural, which it can be very real in the natural, you need to declare the promises of God and not walk by sight, but walk by the promises of God in faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Thanks, Tim. Amen?
Yeah.
Salvation, preservation, healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, to do well, to prosper in every area of your life. That's where what God had promised for you. That's what's working in your life. There's a power to bring it to pass. That power comes from understanding and knowing that you are the righteousness of God and knowing that by revelation and then acting on it by faith. You act on the promise of God of salvation by faith, and it will come to pass in your life. And there is a spiritual force and power that will cause it to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your power that's bringing health and healing and prosperity and causing us to live and be well in every area of our life. Thank you for that power in Jesus' name. Amen.